Good to see everyone out this morning. Welcome to visitors. Hope college wasn't too hard, but always glad to see you here. Happy Mother's Day, and I hope that it's a great day for you, and you get what you want and what you can eat today. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in Romans 16th chapter. What's a good mother like? Judith Viorst once wrote an essay based on interviews she had with children. The subject was, what's a good mother like? She reports that the children expected their mothers to get angry from time to time. She has to, said Ted, or she'll faint from holding it in. But it's best to remember, said Randy, that when your mother starts to act real weird, you have to look scared and serious. Don't giggle. When mommies are mad, they get madder if you giggle. My mommy got so mad, said Megan, that she yanked a plate off the table and all the mashed potatoes flew in the air. And why? Viorst asked, pretending she had never heard of such behavior from a mother. Why would a mother do a thing like that? Well, little Megan told her, said, my older brother Mike was 11, and he kept saying that he didn't want to eat the potatoes on his plate. He said, I'll eat them later. And then she told him again to eat the potatoes, and he said, soon. And then she told him she had better eat those potatoes right now, and he said, in a minute. And then she stood up, and Mike finally took a bite and told her, how can I eat them? They're cold now. So children can exasperate their mothers, and it's not easy being a mom. No one deserves a special day all to herself than today's mom. A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient. He says, let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. That's 150%. I think I see your problem now. You know, when we first read chapter 16 of Romans, it really didn't do much for us. It struck me as being nothing more than a presentation of a lot of different names, a lot of different people that Paul was acknowledging. You kind of usually skim over that part, I know I did, but over the years, you change your attitude towards those things. And this particular chapter, I discovered there was a little bit more to it than meets the eye. It's interesting to note that of the 26 people who Paul singles out for his personal greeting, six were women. It shows us the tremendous influence that women had in that early church. In the male-oriented first century Palestine, it is telling that Paul cannot describe the church without mentioning the significant role of women. Verse 13 of chapter 16 is of particular interest, and scholars have struggled with that particular passage for centuries. Paul writes, give my greetings to Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, this statement could be taken two ways. It could mean that Paul had two distinct women in mind, the mother of Rufus and his own personal mother. Or he could be saying, I salute Rufus and his mother, who is like a mother to me. If that's what he meant, and most scholars agree that's probably the way to go with that, it raises some interesting speculation. When and where did Paul meet Rufus's mother, and did she nurse him through some illness that he may have had? Did she receive him into her home for an extended stay during his missionary journeys? How did this woman and Paul form such a close bond that he refers to her as being like his mother? Mark tells us that Simon of Cyrene, the man who carried Jesus' cross, had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Was this the same Rufus that Paul was speaking about? If that's true, his mother would be Simon of Cyrene's wife. No one knows for sure who this remarkable woman was who served as a mother figure to Paul, apostle of Christ. While her history is unknown, her example showed that we should be well known from what Paul said in her example. True, there are some women in the Bible, such as Jezebel and the vindictive Herodias, who had John the Baptist beheaded, that tarnish women and then motherhood. There are women today who abandon, abuse, corrupt their children, and who create a poor model for their children. But I like to think that these are the exceptions in most cases. Most mothers do the right thing and deserve recognition from us today. So this morning, I'd like to join Paul as he salutes mothers everywhere for what they do for us. Mothers should be saluted for their tenacious love of their children. Secondly, they should be saluted for the tremendous impact they have on the lives of their children. And thirdly, mothers should be saluted because where they are is where the home is. Anybody here remember what it was like to drive a car before there was automatic transmissions, before there was power steering, before air conditioning, and before seatbelts? Some of us do. Let's stop for a moment. Before seatbelts, parents could pack 8 kids into the family car and take them anyway. They were so jammed in there, they wouldn't have went anywhere if the car would have hit anything. You know, automobile safety is much more regulated than it used to be. There are rules and there are laws. Today, children under 4 years old or under 40 pounds have to be in some sort of seat or a restraining device. You can't even bring your newborn home from the hospital until they make sure there's a car seat in your car. I remember when Trevor was born, they just came out with that, and we had to make sure that, and a nurse had to come and see that there was a car seat in there for him to ride home from the hospital in. For slightly older kids, there are booster seats. With the mandatory installation of airbags, no kids under the age 12 should be in the front seat, they say, for fear that they would be hurt more by the airbag. Before all these mechanical safety devices, however, some of us no doubt grew up with a different kind of child restraint system. And Judith Burris, again, in writing in her books, reminded us of what she wrote. This year I received a Mother's Day card that pictured a mother driving a car, her son in the passenger seat, and her outstretched arm protectively flung across his chest. We all remember that. Mom slammed on the brakes and before seat belts, and there went the arm to protect us. And I've heard a great deal from my sons about my overprotective tendencies, but I think that this card's message says it best. The message said to Mom, the original seat belt. She wrote that in her book, Imperfect Control. A mom's protective reach has always been the safety belt or saving seat belt for a family. But the seat belt of a mom takes a different form in different families. For some families, the mom offers a seat belt of continual presence. She's always making sure what her children are doing. And don't you know it, we could sure get into a lot of mischief when the adults weren't watching us. And it's even worse today than when I grew up. Because really and truly, there were dangers to us. We could get hurt climbing a tree. We could get hurt, you know, on a construction site if we were allowed to play there. They put fences around them now. They used to not. So Mom needed to watch us in our presence to make sure we were safe. She was at the door when we went off to school and welcomed them back when they got there, putting every meal on the table and shouting encouragement at all our games to keep on trying. For some, Mom offered the seatbelt of a role model, a mom who always worked incredibly hard at her job, her church, her, you know, whatever she did in her family, a mom who put everything she had into all the things she did, regardless of how important or how trivial it was. For some, Mom offered the seatbelt of stability when we wound up in new schools, when we went to new homes, when we had new challenges or new ideas and new lifestyles. A no-fear mom raising no-fear kids. You know, if we trust in our mothers, and we trust in our parents, but if we trust in our mother, she'll take care of us. And that was one thing we could count on. And today, in a lot of places, it's unfortunate that a lot of children can't rely on their mothers as they should. For some, mom offered the seatbelt of gentleness, a spirit of love, forgiveness, tenderness, always accessible, always welcoming, arms that wrapped around to provide a timeout, a decompression space from the problems that we think we have when we're children. You want to give an unconventional Mother's Day gift? Think of this. This Mother's Day, take a moment to think of all the mothers in the world who are in need. Darfur, Africa, many places, all over the world, starving people. There are millions of women in the world living on less than a dollar a day. There are women in this country who are wondering how they're going to feed or die for their children from day to day. There are children who need medical attention and their parents may not be able to afford it. Anyone who has ever had to worry about such things can deeply sympathize with their plight. For those of us who have escaped such worries, we can only imagine what level of instinctive stress that uncertainty can provoke. We live in a good place now for most of us, and we don't worry. You know, we have the recent thing that happened in Myanmar. And one thing we should think about is that the world evangelism is looking for donations to send out to there, because they actively have missionaries in that area of the world, in India, and in what used to be Burma or Myanmar now, and they're looking for people's help right now. I think we ought to consider that. But on with the lesson. There are many ways to celebrate Mother's Day, but here are a few unconventional suggestions that will prove to your own mother that she did a good job in raising you. How about dropping off a box of diapers or a case of formula at a local food bank or a women's shelter? Princeton Church has such a food bank there. If you have some baby furniture or clothing that your own children have outgrown, how about donating to someone or a charity? Does our local hospital have a fund for children who are in need of care? Are there doctors in our community or city who volunteer in clinics overseas who might need supplies? There are countless ways to help moms locally and globally. Let your own mom know that you are thinking about her and all the good mothers of the world, and showing her just what person she raised. By doing that, you'll make her proud. So that's a Mother's Day gift that doesn't cost a lot, but goes a long way. I'll leave you this morning with a tale of two mothers. A guy grew up across the street from another boy who was similar to his age. His mother kind of had a tendency to keep him away from that other boy out there. He never did really figure why. He felt that he was lucky because he went everywhere and did everything he wanted, but his mother sheltered him. This other little fellow, his mother never asked him where he went or what he did. And you know, this young man watched him from across the street and wondered why his mother kept him away from him. Because he seemed to have so much fun. Nobody asked him any questions. Nobody told him he couldn't do anything. And he seemed to be left to his own devices. But the boy grew up and he went to college and he never seen his neighbor again. He became a suspected eye surgeon, specializing in transplants. He was getting ready to harvest the corneas from a deceased man when he recognized the man's face. He was the boy that he knew from so long ago. He had lived a life of crime, and like so many who do, he met his end on the streets of that city. Everything the surgeon's mother had done to protect him and nurture him became abundantly clear as he looked at this man he once knew, as he began to harvest corneas so that someone else could have sight. He was reminded of what his mother had read to him from the Bible. In Ezekiel 12:2, "Son of man, are you living among the rebellious people? They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are rebellious people." And in Mark 8:18, "Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear, and don't you remember?" Paul knew when he wrote in Romans 16 that many a mother had guided their children to a relationship with Christ, and they deserve recognition and honor every day, not just one day a year, but every day. So, I know a Mother's Day sermon is not exactly a sermon where we preach the gospel of Christ per se, but we need to remember that so many good mothers have preached the gospel and brought so many to Christ. And Christ keeps calling us. And whatever need we may have today, if you need the church, if you need our help, if you need to find Christ, we can help with all that. But if you have need, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation? For what he's given us, then we're not going to grow.